a Monday morning, and we are on In Focus. I'm Andrew Shores, and for the next 25 minutes or so, I'm joined by Sue Nelson. And of course, Sue, you're a clinical associate professor with K-State's College of Veterinary Medicine, and Dr. Nelson, it's very timely we have you on, because today is going to be a very warm day, and we're going to be talking about some pet-related issues during the summertime. We're in a heat advisory, and that means the temperatures today are going to get rather extreme. So what do you do if you have an animal on a day like today, and you're facing 105-degree temperatures?
Yes, that's a good question. So with our pets, we want to make sure that they have, if they're outdoor pets, that they have shade that follows them around all day. So make sure that the shade they have doesn't go away like at 2 p.m. when the sun's up high. So go out and kind of check and make sure that shade's there. They need access to water at all times. So check that water bowl a couple times a day. Fresh, cool water, get it changed out. It's also important that you check their food, especially with the outdoor pets, because the insects are out along with the heat. And so flies are very much attracted to the food. So their food should be switched out at least twice a day as well. And then other things we need to be cognizant of with our dogs, typically we need to take them outside to walk. It's best to take them out in the cooler morning areas or later evening. And even then, with it as hot as it is right now, with humidity levels kind of getting up there, even some of these dogs can have some difficulty dealing with the heat. So keep a close watch on them when you're outside with them. Watch for increased panting, their saliva getting a little thicker, lagging behind. You're having to pull on them with a leash, maybe even starting to stagger. Their gums looking very, very dark red. Those are all signs that they're starting to suffer from some heat. You need to give them the shade, offer some water, try to get them cooled off.
So I think one thing people don't often consider, how much does humidity impact a pet? Because obviously the heat is one very large factor, but the humidity, what does that do for an animal, especially maybe one with more fur?
It does the same thing, just like people. We can tell a difference between 80 degrees and low humidity and 80 degrees and high humidity. And it does make it harder for these pets to compensate with the heat, just like it does ourselves. So it definitely is a factor, and you have to take that in, because normally where maybe they did okay on one day in the mid-80s when the humidity was lower, another day they may have a problem, and usually that's because the humidity levels have gone up as well.
So what are some signs that maybe your pet is beginning to succumb to a heat-related illness and you need to maybe take it for treatment?
Okay, so like we mentioned earlier, when you're out for a walk, they might start lagging behind. They're going to start panting more. Their gums will look very dark red. Their drool, which is usually, you know, kind of thin and slimy, is going to start getting thicker. As they start to dehydrate, they may start to stagger or wobble just a little bit. So those, and just maybe to the point where they collapse on the ground. Those are some of your earlier signs. You need to get them cooled off, get them in the shade, and get them in. As it progresses, they can go into seizures. Their organs will shut down. And at some point, that will be irreversible.
What can you do? I mean, is there any point where taking your animal, say, to a vet hospital would do any good during the heat?
So with really early signs, just getting in them to the shade, stop your exercise with them. There's a hose around, get them cooled off, offer them a drink, and just give them time to cool off, kind of like we would if you felt yourself getting a little bit hot. For the ones that you think may be getting more advanced, still a good idea to kind of get them wet, run the air conditioner in your car as you're getting them to the veterinarian so you have some cool air blowing over that wet coat as well.
You could say we've kind of started to enter the dog days of summer, if you will, with the warmer temperatures. Have you really seen any illness so far yet this season?
So as far as the summer heat-related illnesses, or we have seen dogs coming in on emergency with heat stress and heat stroke. And then there's a whole plethora of things that can happen in the summer. A lot of them are insect-related, so we have more tick-borne diseases that are out there. Things like Rocky Mountain spotted fever, ehrlichiosis are prevalent in this area. Fleas are also out there, so besides the annoying bites and secondary infections they can cause, they can transmit Bartonella for our cats. They can cause anemia if there's enough of those. And so, and there are carrier cat scratch fever. For cats who have those fleas, and they can pass it on, that bacteria, onto their owners. So that's a big issue with them as well.
So what are some steps you can take to prevent fleas in your animal and furthermore prevent some of these nasty sicknesses that can be spread to humans?
Right. So if you haven't started a preventive, you need to start now. And there's a lot of good ones out there. Speak to your veterinarian which one may be the best for your pet. There can be some age restrictions for some. If they swim a lot, they may talk to you about oral products instead that aren't going to get washed off when you bathe them. And the key is to get them started before fleas and ticks become a problem on them, especially with fleas, which from now until the end of fall are going to continue to build in their numbers. If you start, let's say, in August or September, you're way behind the eight ball already, and there will be a lot of immature fleas in your environment by then.
People who have indoor pets don't necessarily think about treating their animal for fleas, but if you have an indoor pet, is that maybe something you should consider?
It's very important because fleas will hitchhike and run right in on your pant leg, or a lot of people have visitors over who bring their own pet dog. Usually it's a dog that they're bringing over that may have fleas too, bring them in. So we do see a fair amount of indoor-only animals come in with fleas as well.
So I think one thing that everyone likes to do during the summertime is probably go out to the lake or go camping. And associated with that, people like to take their dogs, say, out to Tuttle Creek or Milford and let the dogs swim in the lake. And that's all fine and dandy. But what are some steps you can take to maybe keep your animal safe during the summertime when you're out there on the lake and trying to have some fun with your pals?
Right. So they're going to have plenty of fresh water for them to drink. I know we don't have salt water, so that works okay. But some of these dogs, when they ingest a lot of lake water, will come home with diarrhea. That's no fun for anybody. But the other thing is, even strong swimmers, if you have them out on the boat and something should happen in the middle of the lake, your boat capsizes, et cetera, it's actually a good idea to have a life vest on your dog as well to help protect them. And then obviously dogs who are not strong swimmers, let's think bulldogs, things like that, definitely be having a vest on them. And by the way, your bulldog probably shouldn't be out on a hot day on the lake anyway. They are more susceptible to heat stress illnesses just because of their short noses and their conformation.
Well, people may take it for granted and just assume a dog has very strong swimming mm-hmm. skills. What kind of life vest can you get for your dog? Are there specialized life vests for dogs?
Yes, they do make special ones for dogs. So it's a good idea to have them on. The other thing to think about, and we had a whole bunch of these earlier this year, is if you're out fishing with your dog, which is fun. Dogs like to come along. They're good partners and good company. But you really need to pay attention to where those hooks are, especially if there's bait on them. The dogs smell the bait on the hooks, and they tend to swallow those. And so that can be end up very poorly for the dog. Sometimes it's just an expensive vet bill and everything turns out okay, but be mindful of what you're doing with your hooks.
Well, and that's another thing. People aren't always mindful when other people are around with what
right.
happens with hooks. So you can only assume what a dog may be thinking.
Yeah, so it's a good idea to keep your dog right by you on a short leash and not let them really actually wander because you never know what they might get into out there in the fishing areas.
9:13 here at K-Man's In Focus. We're speaking with Sue Nelson from K-State's College of Vet Med. And by the way, the phone lines are open, 785-537-1350. And Sue, if you're traveling this time of year, what are some steps you can take to maybe ease pet anxiety as you take them to be boarded this time of year? Because that's probably a huge stressor in any animal's life. Just how do you keep your animal calm and safe while you may be away for an extended period of time?
So as far as boarding goes, it's a good idea to take something that's familiar with a scent, such as a t-shirt or towel, to have with them in their cage, wherever they're going to be in their kennel. And then also, if there's a special diet they are used to, it's a good idea to bring that food. Not all boarding facilities are going to have maybe the exact diet your dog is on or your cat, and you're less likely to have stress diarrhea start if they're eating the diet they're familiar with, because the boarding facilities can't carry the plethora of dog food and cat food choices that there are in the market.
That would be impossible.
Yeah.
But how do you go about maybe selecting a facility on... You know, when you talk about keeping your pet cool, it's probably important to make sure you're selecting a place that has extensive air conditioning.
So it's always a good idea to go check out the facility that you're thinking about using and just look at their kennels and their cages, see if they do have air conditioning. Most of them do these days, especially in Kansas. But it's never a bad idea to check them out. Look at their hours. Make sure that their hours are convenient and are going to work for you. Ask the questions, how often is my dog going to be let out? Are there extra things that they can purchase, such as additional playtime, either one-on-one or group playtime for the dogs? How often are the cats checked on and fed? Do they clean their litter boxes out once a day, twice a day? So what vaccines does that facility require for your pet? That can vary, so you definitely want to know that and find that out well ahead of time, especially if you know you're going to be away, let's say, in a month or two, because some of these vaccines may require a series of two before they become effective. So checking all that ahead of time will help.
Well, and it's summertime, so obviously for a lot of people, it may be a slower time of year. You may have a little bit more free time on your hands. Do you think summertime is a maybe a good idea to get on a vaccine schedule for animals during the summertime. I know when I was a child, frequently our family, that was just the time of the year when we made sure our pets got their yearly vaccines. Do you think summer is a time where you see an uptick in that sort of activity?
We do see some. A lot of people are on vacation, too. So we tend to stay pretty steady throughout the year. But retrospectively, yeah, I think we may see a few more coming in for the vaccines, because especially mothers with school-age kids that might have a little more free time in the summer when they don't have to shuttle them back and forth to the school-related activities. And so, but really, any time of year is a good year to get your pet going and get it going on vaccines.
Right. Well, and is there anything else you'd like to add this morning, Sue? It's been a pleasure having you on.
I think the main thing is, especially with the boarding, if you're going to go on vacation, being prepared, checking ahead of time. Some of these facilities will fill up fairly quickly, and so you don't want to think you're going to make your appointment like 2 days before you leave and have a place for them. So be cognizant of that. You may have a pet who doesn't do well boarding, so you may want to consider a pet sitter who either comes and stays at your house or checks on them several times a day. And so that is also an option. You'll want to check into their qualifications and what they're comfortable doing and what you're comfortable with as well. But that is an option for some people too. And then I do want to remind people, make sure your dogs and your cats are on heartworm preventive. July, August in this area are peak transmission times. We have transmission several more months of the year than that, but we are into the peak transmission of heartworm disease, and that is a disease that's spread by mosquitoes, and so even indoor pets are at risk for that.
Well, Sue, it's been a pleasure having you on. We're coming up on 9:18 here on News Radio KMAN. You've been listening to In Focus with Sue Nelson from K-State's College of Veterinary Medicine. Coming up next, we'll hear from Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy and City Manager Ron Fear.
With ESB Financial, just tap and snap, it's so easy.